going to yield the mic to Daryl, Delta Hotel. Come on up.
Sound check, test one, test two. Grace, you can't hear me? Test one, test two. Well, everybody else can hear me. I'm trying to get the gist of Sammy's question and text as well, and I may be off. I may not be understanding it. You're hungry. Okay. Something like that. Is he saying if there's gossip pointing fingers or you know something, if someone is saying he's saying not to not do anything about it, but walk away from it and look away. We believe and we teach and preach salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. We believe that everything that needed to be done for our salvation has already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. There's nothing that we did to gain our salvation except to trust the gospel, to accept the gift that was offered, the gift that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're no stinking good. Absolutely right. And so it's not about our works. It's not about what we do. And it's not about what we don't do. Thou shalt not. Good behavior, bad behavior, so on and so forth. It's not about us. That is, our salvation is not about us. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous in the eyes of God. We're made righteous. God made Him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So if there's nothing that we do to gain our salvation, then there's nothing that we can do to lose our salvation. Right? Some people think that we can lose our salvation. Yes, we've heard Sammy before. And so when we say things like that, you know, there's a terminology for it in the religious circles. It's called, and there's an acronym for it put on the screen, once saved, always saved. And people open rooms and I'll talk and argue about that for days on end. Nothing but that for days on end. You know, there are people in the Bible that could lose their salvation. Well, that's what I'm getting to, Sammy. The answer to that is no. If you changed one word in there, if you changed one word in that sentence, I would agree with you. Well, two words. If you would change that to that, I would agree with that. Once in our hearts we accept Him, we are saved. We should walk in His ways. Should, yes. Not have to, should. And we get called names about this. Let me read some verses that I'm sure that by now you are quite familiar with. And then I'm going to read the next verse. For by grace, unmerited favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just accept that free gift. Christ died for our sins. Accept it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about us. Now read the next verse. For we are His workmanship. It's not about our after salvation. It's not us. It's Him. We're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should. Now, a lot of people accuse us of saying, oh, you're saying that once you're saved, then you automatically have a license to go out and commit sins. You can go out and just do whatever you want and commit sins, and you're still saved. You don't have to worry about being good, or nobody ever said, go out and commit sins. Nobody ever said that. But that's true. You can. I can. People can go out and they can commit mass murder. They're still saved. You're not going to lose your salvation. They can go out and they can steal, lie, cheat. What are some of the things that Jim Oldboy used to say? Chew tobacco, go watch dirty movies, go fishing on Sunday, go play golf on Sunday, right? And so they give us little names like Greasy Grace, or you say, oh, you're just giving everybody a license to go out and sin, right? Let not sin, therefore, reign in our mortal soul, our mortal body, rather. Hi, Gordon. Welcome in. And nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said that it's okay to go out and sin. What the teacher was saying is that we are going to sin. We do sin. As long as we're in this fleshly body, we are going to sin. And this accusation that people make, it's not new. The Apostle Paul himself dealt with the same accusation. In Romans chapter 3, which is a later epistle that he wrote, it's still during the book of Acts, but and there's a little bit of sarcasm that Paul, in this little run of verses that I'm putting on the screen and I'm going to read to you. Verse 8 is the key verse here. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? He's kind of being a little facetious there, right? But verse 8 says, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Those who say that, their damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no way, no way. Wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As long as we're in these fleshly bodies, we're going to have sin nature. Another thought comes to mind. I'm trying to think of in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 5. Well, looking for a key phrase. All right, it's 1st Corinthians. Okay, there's this fellow that Paul writes about, and he's saved in 1st Corinthians chapter 5, and he's doing some things that I wouldn't repeat in mixed company. There's the verse right there. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And what's going on there? In your own, when you have time to read your own Bible, I would, in answer to this question, I would have you read this the first part of this chapter talking about this fellow. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing. And anyway, these people in Corinth are just letting it go on. They're not staying on anything about it. They're turning a blind eye. I'll go ahead and put all the verses on the screen so you can at least read them. You can read faster than I can talk. Yeah, looking the other way. But the key verse here is, and this is another verse that I would turn to say, look what this guy's doing. You know, it's incest, openly having incest. And then Paul says, verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together and in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A lot of grace people. Believers just lift that one verse there out of its context and apply it to anything and everything. You know, if it's used on me an awful lot. the implication is I'm saying something that they disagree with, so that's a little leaven, right? And that has to do with bread. If you put leaven is like what is it that, what do they add to bread to make it rise? Ladies. Need bakers in the house. Yeast, there you go. They add yeast to make the bread rise. That's what leaven is. And then, you know, they have the days of unleavened bread where they don't add that to their bread. But in verse 5, Paul's writing, bread means, yes, little double entendre, play on words. But verse 5, you know, he's telling them to pray for the destruction of the flesh of this fellow, that his spirit will still be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so no, we don't look the other way. How will our sin life affect our eternity? Is a question that a lot of people have. There you go, Mike. See, if we're with a saved person, a person that's in the church, the body of Christ, a person that believes the gospel that Paul preached, and I'll go ahead and repeat it now because it never hurts, believing that Christ, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, lived a perfect, sin-free life, is the only one that ever has. He voluntarily went to the cross and died a gruesome death for our sins. He died for the forgiveness of our sins. He was buried, and he was resurrected for our justification. Anybody who trusts that gospel, they're baptized, identified into the church, the body of Christ. We're saved. And then there's a seal that's put on us that cannot be broken. The Holy Spirit puts a seal on us. He baptizes us into the church, the body of Christ, and seals us, like just like a can of fruit, you know, or something like that. You open that, or a jar of fruit. You open that seal, it pops. Airtight seal, no leaks. Sealed up. Our salvation, our promised inheritance. That seal is a down payment on that. Well, when we either die a physical death, or if we're lucky, the rapture occurs before we die that physical death and we're part of the living that are raptured, we're going to go and we're going to find ourselves at the judge. It's what Paul calls the judgment seat of Christ. I'm explaining 1 Corinthians 3:15 to you right now. And it says that our work, and it's singular, our work will be judged. And our work doesn't have anything to do. See, our sins have already been judged. So after we're saved, we're going to commit sins. We're going to commit sins. But that's already been judged. There are verses in Paul's scriptures that say, God sees us as being crucified with Christ, buried with him, and resurrected with him. That's how God sees us. We're made the righteousness of God in him. A saved person, God sees us. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see our flesh. And that's what that, I caught the only very end of the lesson, but that's what that Bible study was about. That's how we should see ourselves. We shouldn't focus on our flesh. When you focus on the flesh, well, then that's where you're going. That's where your mind is going to be. But we're told to, somebody help me with the verse, we're told to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And that those verses that Mike was putting on the screen about, you know, walking in the Spirit. Hey, Joyce, welcome in. Didn't see you here. So anyways, if we're a saved person, when we go to meet the Lord, we're going to show up at a place called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm not sure. There's people that know more than I do that compare that to the mercy seat in the atonement or whatever. And we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ by the things that are done in the flesh. But it's not our sins that will be judged. Like I said, our sin life has already been judged. God doesn't see our sin anymore after we're saved. We're going to be and read those verses folks are putting on the screen, please. We're going to be judged according to our ministry. It's our ministry that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And let me talk about that just for a second. We're all different, right? I mean, it's even after we're saved, we're all different. We've got different strengths, different weaknesses. And, you know, when I look at some of the names in this room, I say, we're all different, and thank God for that. But we all have a different ministry, and God knows what that ministry is. Not everybody is their ministry to stand in front of a podium on a church every Sunday morning and preach. Or it's not everybody's ministry to go out on a busy street corner during rush hour with a big sign with the gospel painted on it. It's like somebody's ministry, I guess. It's not everybody's ministry to open a room in Pal Talk or to post great memes and Bible verses and Bible studies and Facebook. Ambassador Joyce. It's not everybody's ministry, but God knows what our ministry is supposed to be. And that's what's going to be judged. Would be good, and Mike does it. We're sitting in a room. It's Mike's ministry to do this. Good. Yes. We're all, the thing is, we all have a different ministry, and that's what we're going to be judged. That's what's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not our sin life. So back to your original question about, you know, the lesson is to not focus on the flesh. One of our old teachers used to say this all the time. God is not in the business of perfecting the flesh today. And that's for people, you know, the people that want to, I'm not saying don't pray to get healed or don't pray when you have problems. But that's not the focus of God today with humanity. God's desire today for everybody on planet Earth is that they be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That's part one of God for everybody today. Get saved. Doesn't mean everybody will be saved, but that's what God wants. That's His desire today. And then part two is to come unto the knowledge of the truth, which is what we're trying to do right now, to come unto the knowledge of the truth, to learn the doctrine. And I see it upsets everyone, but I'm not sure what you're... Have the ministry of people making people mad. Yeah, that's your ministry in Pal Talk, Ed. But you know what? It gets, people get mad at Ed, and then they, in Pal Talk, and they stalk him. They stalk him into our grace rooms, and then they might hear something, and it gets their attention. Yes, this is not popular. I think that's one of the first things that we openly acknowledge to you, Sammy. Red Ed. Dead redhead Ed. With a perm. So anyways. Am I getting close to answering your question? The lesson that we were listening to, I think, the part I heard anyways, was not about us to focus on our flesh. Not only are we not to focus on our flesh, but let's not focus too much on anybody else's flesh either. Because we don't know. We don't know. When somebody screws up, yeah, you know, use your judgment. We don't all have a mystery over there and say, you know, it's not like the goon squads, you know, those Muslim goon squads in London, England that I read about or hear about. I don't know whether it's fake news or not, but I did hear it on Fox, that walk around disciplining people that aren't following the Muslim Quran, things like that. And I see another hand up, but another chapter in your Bible written by Paul that I would recommend you read is Romans chapter 7, where Paul talks about his own I want to get a key verse here. Yeah, Romans chapter 7, I guess about the middle of the chapter. Oh, wrong book, that's why. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul writing, arguably second to Jesus Christ himself, the world's greatest Christian that ever, quote-unquote Christian, that ever lived, is writing these words. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Even then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, in the flesh, that is. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You see the struggle here? It's like that old cartoon, I guess, where the Christian has an angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other, and each of them are telling him what to do, and he makes a choice. If he chooses the angel, he does the right thing. If he chooses the devil, he does the wrong thing. See the dilemma that Paul's having here? Even Paul, and I guess I do this cut to the end. Well, read that chapter a couple of times. We're all going to struggle with it, and we're going to see other saved people struggle with it being sin. Our sin life. Sin, there's three Bible definitions of sin. Paul's is real simple. All unrighteousness is sin. There, I guess that's the key verse. Mike found it for me. Let me say works, that's ministry. I said work, singular. Singular work. Okay. Now, when you say work, that's ministry of works for the Lord, right? Trying to clarify because I've been told. Yeah, that's what most people believe. But let me just repeat myself. Our sin life has already been judged. If you're saved, anybody that's saved, anybody that trusts Paul's My Gospel, anybody that trusts the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, anybody that trusts that Jesus Christ did it all, and there's nothing that we can do to add to it, there's nothing we can do to take away from it, anybody that, you know, that trust, the let go, quit trying and start trusting, anybody that's trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in the Lord Jesus Christ, but on Him, our sin has already been judged. It was judged when Jesus, it was judged 2,000 years ago with Jesus on the cross. Like I said, we were crucified with Him. Somebody put that verse, Galatians 2:20, crucified with Him, buried with Him. Galatians 2:20, please. Thank you. I'm going to read this one. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I think there's at least three or four people in the room right now that that's one of their favorite verses. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Our sin has already been judged. So it's our ministry. So how can? Sorry, Ed. This popped into my mind earlier, and I lost it. I just got it back. Our sin life can affect our ministry. Don't like talking about my own sin life, but if I'm focused on the flesh, then it's real easy for me to cuss, say a dirty word now and again. How can that affect my ministry? Somebody hears me cuss, and they hear me cuss, and then they hear me cuss again, and they remember that. So when I get down to talking to them and I start sharing the gospel of salvation, talking about God, it's going to affect my ministry. Yeah, it's a good point, Mike. Actually, I never thought it's going to affect it negatively. Well, I guess our sin life is going to affect our ministry negatively, right? Because other people are not going to take us seriously, right? I mean, it's like, and that's where we're going to be judged. So our sin is going to have a negative impact on our ministry, and our ministry is going to be what's called into question at the judgment seat of Christ. So indirectly, our sin life will be judged, but only how it negatively affects our ministry. And Paul, this is about a Bible word, sanctification. And I'm sure there's literally dozens of archived Bible studies on sanctification. It's real simple. It means to be set apart. Sanctified, set apart. Now, the split second that a person trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're set apart by God. Now, it just means set apart. In the Old Testament, they used to sanctify the utensils they used for the sacrificial, you know, all the things they did under the law. The priest would wash themselves and inspect themselves. Set apart. can be applied to anything. That's just what the word means, set apart. But what Paul writes about, there's two kinds of sanctification that Paul writes about. And the first one is a judicial truth, just like being crucified with Christ. I wasn't there. I wasn't crucified with Christ. I wasn't hanging on the cross in my flesh. It's a spiritual truth, and it's a judicial truth. God has judged us that way. It's a positional truth. God has put us in that position. I wasn't buried with him. I'm trying to keep away from the word literal, but I literally was in the eyes of God, but not physically. And resurrected with him. I don't know those, if somebody can find those verses, crucified with him, buried with him, okay, well, set apart just means sanctification. When you're saved, God sets you apart. He sees you in a different way. You're set apart from those who aren't saved. You're in the church, the body of Christ. You're set apart as a member of his body. That's a judicial positional truth that God puts you in. That's one of the types of sanctification that Paul writes about. The other type of sanctification that Paul writes about has to do with our Christian walk, how we behave. And people say, oh, you see, Paul writes about all these things that you should and shouldn't do, and you know how you know how you're supposed to behave and obey this and follow that. And well, when he's writing, and that's also practical sanctification. That's being set apart for a practical purpose. And that practical purpose is our Christian walk and how that Christian walk affects our ministry. Thank you, Andy. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with him by baptism into death. So, she's confused now, so I'll shut up. Mike, come on up and after Ed, talk about sanctification. I knew I was going to reach a point of information overload. Our service is not our salvation. Our walk is not our salvation. Now, what can we lose at the judgment seat of Christ? And what can we gain at the judgment seat of Christ? We do our ministry, whatever it is, however great, big, out in the open it is, or how small it is. It's all big in the eyes of God. God knows what our ministry is supposed to be. And if we do what we're supposed to do in our ministry, we're going to get a jewel in our crown. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, it's going to be burnt up. Wood, hay, stubble is going to be burnt up. And the precious stones, gold, silver, gold, whatever, diamonds, I'm just quoting the verse right now, those will withstand the fire of the judgment seat of Christ. We'll get our crown of glory, the attitude. But all those other things in ministry that we didn't do when we were supposed to, when we failed to say amen, when we should have said amen, all those little things, when we don't do our the doctrine that we preach, if it's especially that, You know, there's saved people out there preaching bad, bad, wrong doctrine. They're going to be judged for that. And they're going to lose reward. Whatever that reward is, I don't know. Some people say they think they know, but the Bible doesn't say what that is. I think it has to do with, and I'll finish with this because it's my opinion. I'll end with my opinion. We're fulfilling God's heavenly purpose for the redemption of heaven. Our promised inheritance is in heaven. The Bible doesn't say much about what that's going to be like, other than it's going to be glorious, better than anything we've ever experienced here on earth. And I think we're all going to have different jobs. You see, there's some empty real estate up there from those fallen angels. And we're all going to have a purpose up there. And I think how we conduct our ministry, our individually different ministries here now, is going to have act on the reward. But God knows the beginning from the end anyway. So, but at the judgment seat of Christ, that's for us. That's Him letting us know. And we're going to know. We're going to know. I'm going to know when I said that cuss word and then turned around and talked to somebody that heard me cuss and they didn't hear me, because they already had me prejudged as a foul-mouthed son of a gun. Judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to find out in the blink of an eye. Yep, right there, you screwed up. Open mic.